And I'd like you to Romans chapter 15 and beginning verse 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 15. He says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors are, they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Now, our Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to hear and understand what's going on in the ministry of the Teague family and what you've called them to. And Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts as to whether or not you want us to support this work and we can move forward in that regard. Lord, we just ask that today would be a beginning, that our minds and our hearts for this coming year would be focused on winning the lost to Christ and growing in grace and knowledge of you. And Lord, there's people here that their lives are a wreck and they need the gospel. They need to be saved. And there's folks all across this nation that need to be saved. And there's folks across this world that need to be saved. And Lord, as we look at the things that are happening, it's easy to see how this can continue to grow into the things that we read in the Word of God. So Lord, help us to understand that the time is short. And Lord, let us realize that the Lord is at hand. So Father, help us to that end. Help me as I try to preach the Word of God and teach this morning. And I pray you'd bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to see some things. When I was reading it, there's some things that kind of leapt out at me as we were looking at what we were doing. And as I was, you know, praying about and reading and studying and trying to figure out what I was going to present to you this morning, and I want you to see something. You know, there's a lot of, as always, when you get into the Word of God, you can take a passage of Scripture and you can use that as a theme and then go and build a topical sermon or a particular sermon about something or a message on the truth of God's Word and pull in other Scriptures. But I was kind of struck here when we looked at the Word of God and looked at what's going on here. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he says in verse 15, he says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace of God, the grace that is given to me of God." Now, we're talking about one man who the Holy Ghost inspired to put these words on paper and preserve them and sent them down and transmitted them to us over the generations and years and millennia. And he talks about the grace of God that is given to him. And I want you to look at this from a larger perspective than just the fact that he's an apostle. I want you to look at what he's doing. Look at what his life is. Look at what he's saying here. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So he's an apostle. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, the minister of the Gentiles, right? He's there. And he's working and he's got a field and a calling and a place where he's going. And so we look at that and we say, okay, he's the apostle to the Gentiles, right? And so we could stop there, but we go on and he says in verse 17, he says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now, he talks about the fact that he's an apostle. And he talks about the fact that he's gone out and he strived not to just build upon other people's labors. And the truth is, we all do to some extent. Christ, if you go and turn with me over back to the book of John, if you will, John chapter 4. You remember the woman at the well? You remember the Samaritan woman at the well? He says this in verse 35 of John chapter 4. He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that one saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So every one of us, to some extent, we all are laboring and building upon what other people before us have done. But Paul said, I wanted to make sure I got out and got to as many people as I could in places where Christ wasn't named. Places where there wasn't a church, places where there wasn't a work going on. And so we see that picture. He said, I had a desire not just to go where other people had already been, but going where other people were. And he says, now, he said, I preach from Jerusalem to Illyricum, and you can look on the map and see what all that entails. And he said, but now, having no more place in these parts, I want to come to you. He said, I've been looking to come there. He said, I was hindered because of the work, but now I want to come and I want to preach the gospel to you. Up in the beginning, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he talks about that, and he talks about wanting to come, but he said, I've reached a point to where I've reached a large area of everything that God had me do, and now my focus is on Spain, and since I'm headed that way, I want to come, and I want to be a blessing to you. He said, I want to be a blessing to you, so I want to come to Rome, because I've never been there at this point. And we know he's going to end up in Rome, and we understand that as it goes. But he says that I'm there, and now I want to come and be a blessing to you. I've been a missionary, an apostle. I've gone to places where nobody else has gone. I put the gospel out there, and now I want to come by to you. You know, he's gone. He's planted churches in Galatia, and Thessalonica, and Philippi, and Colossae, and go on and on and on of all the places that he's done and the missionary journeys that he did, the things that he's done. And he says, now I want to come to Rome, and I want to preach the gospel to you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to help you. And then in verse 25, he says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll find some references to that. And it says, it hath pleased them verily, for their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed this to them, this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness and blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, notice what he's done. He's saying, look, I'm coming to you. But he said, first, I've got to do something else. He said, I've got another charge. I'm going back to Jerusalem to take a love offering to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem, those that have been persecuted by their brethren and those that are struggling. And I'm going to go help that church there. And I'm going to go and take this gift which has been given by the saints in Macedonia and Achaia to be a blessing to them. And he points out that you know, in the way he's pointing out then, he's pointing out the gospel being to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he's talking about them being partakers of their spiritual things. If you read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, you'll see, you know, we went through all of that of what God's going to do with Israel. And so they see that picture there. They understand that they've been grafted in. But I want you to see the picture here. We have a man, the Apostle Paul, called by God to be an apostle, called to go to the Gentiles, and yet his work is touching the saints at Jerusalem, his countrymen, his brethren, is touching people that have never heard the gospel before. He's started churches. He's been a blessing to them. And his ministry is now he wants to come to a church in Rome and try to help them as well. So you're seeing a picture of a ministry of one man that is such that it covers every aspect of what we would call Christian ministry and Christian behavior. He's taking care of people. Now, beloved, I would say to you that if one man can do that by the power of God, I would say a church can do that by the power of God. Now think about that. This is what I want you to see this morning. I want you to look at all the things that the Apostle Paul is doing. This is one man taking burdens upon himself. The call to be the apostle of the Gentiles. You read in the book of Galatians, you look at how he labored and everything before he ever went up to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and before he did those. He labored for a long time in the things that he did before he was ever recognized by the other apostles. And the labors that he did and the work that he did, the churches that he and Barnabas and Silas and Timotheus and all those went out and planted as they labored out of Antioch. And now he's going back to these churches and he's going back and taking a gift from those churches, those Gentile churches, if you will. He's taking their gifts back to their brethren, their Jewish brethren in Jerusalem, and those that are suffering there. And if you go through and you read, you'll find out there was a famine. There's a lot of different things that happened. So he took a gift back to them, but he's also dealing with churches. You read the different books of the Bible, the epistles, and how many times he's talking about going to see them, church, and hoping to be able to come to them, come back to them, and that they might have a second benefit. You see the things that he's done, the things that he did at Corinth, the things that he did all the way through there. We see that, and yet we see him now coordinating and bringing back offerings and trying to do that, and still and looking to go to another place that he's never been by Spain, but moving along and wanting to stop at a church and be a blessing. Now there's the picture of what one man can do in just those few verses. One man sold out to God. One man desiring to do what God wants him to do and desiring to say, well, I don't know, not sit there and taking the time to look at just what he himself is capable of, but being willing to let God do more through him. Being enlarged. Being used of God in a way that he probably, from the beginning, never thought he would be used. And if God can do that with one man, he can do it with the church. You say, boy, we're hurting. Okay. We don't have many people now, Brother John. You know, you're talking about increasing missionaries. You're talking about increasing giving, and you're talking about all these things that we're doing. We're hurting. Let me ask you a question. Are all our bills paid? Has God given us money in the bank? We've got money in the bank. We've got all our bills paid. We're still, with our numbers, as small as they are, bringing in more than we're putting out. Amen. And we're looking at more renovations. We're looking at more building classrooms over there, doing some work in here and these things like that. God's been very faithful to provide. So why wouldn't we just trust God to do the rest of the things he wants us to do? Why wouldn't we just trust him to say, all right, we've got a great commission, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the province of the local church, is it not? We're not universal church people. We're local church people. God didn't start a universal church. He started local churches. And the commission is for all of us. But at some point, we have to step out by faith and say, all right, let's enlarge ourselves. Let's be used more of God. Let's find out what God wants us to do. We have a great luxury. We don't have a bunch of money that people just throw a little bit into the plate. You know, they throw a little bit in the offering plate and everything like that, and then the church or the general assembly or whatever decide how much of that's going to go to missions and how much of that's going to go here, and we got somebody else figuring it out. No, we get to make all those decisions ourselves. You get to decide before God what you are going to give to missions, what you are going to do for missions, what you are going to do for evangelism, what you're going to do for all these things. You get to decide personally, individually, between you and God. And that ought to bring a closer relationship with God. Amen. That's what it's designed to do, by the way. And so we make those decisions and we give, and then we as a church, we take what God gives us and we say, okay, this is the way we're going to go. This is what we're going to do. This is what we believe, and this is where we need to go. And we'll sit down and we'll look at missions and we'll say, do we want to bring these missionaries on, and do we want to do that? We'll pray about it. We'll say yes, and we'll decide how much and everything like that. But all of that will be based upon the individual decisions that each one of us make to serve God. Think about that. Sometimes we look at missions, when we talk about faith promise missions and things like that, and we talk about exhortations to seek the Lord and find out what you should give for missions, and just be obedient and live by faith and do that. Sometimes we get it the wrong way. It's not the preacher up here trying to get you to give more. For any other reason, it's trying to get you to seek the Lord and ask God what you can give. The idea is for you to learn to trust God. The idea is for us to look back and say, you know what? We weren't very much. Think about the Apostle Paul in his life. He could look back. And he could say, you know, I started this thing out. I got saved. And right after I got saved, God called me. And he said, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my namesake. Did you get that call? Did when you got saved, did God say, well, I'm going to show you how many things you're going to have to suffer, Sister Pat? No, you didn't get that call. He did. But he said, okay, if I got to suffer, I'll suffer. And he went back, and now he's looking back, and he's looking at churches that have been planted. He's looking to go to new places, and he's saying, I have no more place in these parts. I preach the gospel everywhere around here. There's no place here in these parts. I got to go to another part if I'm going to keep doing this, if I'm going to keep accomplishing it. And you know, that's the thing. That's the wonderful thing about it is we don't have to rest on the past. Our God, everything about our faith is focused toward what? The future, isn't it? Everything we do now, supposedly, if our heart's right and our attitude is right, everything we do now is actually focused toward heaven, isn't it? Laying up treasure in heaven, right? Looking forward to that day when we can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Understanding and getting a reward and claiming our inheritance. All of these things are what we look forward to. And so what I'm saying is, we don't need to be a church that's just looking back to what happened before. We should be looking forward to what God can do. Everything's an opportunity. You know, I like big churches. I do. I like to see a lot of people involved in the work of God. I like big churches. I hope one day we'll get back up to numbers we had, and I'm looking forward to that. We're going to try to do that, and we're going to invite people, and some people are going to come, some people are not going to come, whatever the case may be. We've had folks come and come long enough to get something, right? And they leave. But they get the gospel while they're here, don't they? And then we have folks that come, and then they don't like it. It doesn't have enough programs or whatever they want and whatever they're looking for. They don't like the preaching, or they don't like this, or they don't like that. And they come, and then they don't ever come again. Some of them are just defeated. Some of them, it's nothing personal, just to be honest with you, they're defeated. They don't know the power of God to change your life. And they know they need that. They need to be able to understand that. But the simple fact of it, I look at the big things. I look at the great things that God does. But you know what? I also look at the little shepherd boy with a sling. He did a lot of work. He did a lot of good for God, didn't he? He did a lot of good for the people, didn't he? And how did he start? Shepherd boys are slain. That's all he started out with. Started out as being a shepherd and taking care of his father's sheep while his brothers were out fighting the war. And he was hanging around and everybody else was out on the front lines and they were fighting. Half of them were scared to death anyway, especially of Goliath. What was he doing? He was just out killing bears and lions. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. And God took him and made him a king, didn't he? I'm just simply saying, we look through the Bible all over the places. We see God taking little bitty things and making big things out of them. And so we're fighting a battle against this virus and we're fighting all this stuff. And let's be honest with you, a lot of people are afraid for their life now. And we don't have to fear death, do we? Amen. I think we got a good message. I think we have the message. In fact, I know we do. But the whole point is, I want you to see that. Look at what God did with one man. Look at the things that one man is doing. He's building churches, planting churches, strengthening churches, taking care of the poor and helping in all these things. He's constantly doing that. He's making a huge difference, isn't he? And we can do that. We can do that too. So that's my challenge to you, starting this emphasis on missions and the things that we're doing. We can do so much more if we'll just trust the Lord. And, you know, we've already seen God provide, haven't we? God's taken care of us. God's provided our needs. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe we can do more. But I know God can do more. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break before the morning preaching. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I just pray that you would help each one of us to understand the truth of your Word. Help us to look and not just see somebody from way back, but help us to see somebody that trusted the Lord. And Lord, help us to desire to see you work in our hearts and lives, just as you worked in Brother Paul's life. And Father, we just ask that you would bless the remainder of our service today. Lord, as we go through this and as we begin to work as a church, I pray that you would help us to trust you and that conviction would form in our hearts and that we would follow through on whatever it is you desire of us to do to accomplish this coming year. And Lord, help us just to start today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.